Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Joe McGee here talking about lifestyles of successful people that make it in life. And the thing that helps you make it in life is the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, if you meditate in the Word day and night, you'll prosper and have good success. 3 John 2. Joshua 1:8 says the same thing. If you meditate in the Word day and night, you'll prosper and have good success. Psalm 1, 1-3 says the same thing. If we meditate in the Word day and night, we will prosper and have good success. Now, I'll tell you something. As a man, the one thing you're looking to do in life is you're trying to succeed. Men hate looking stupid. We really do. We do not like looking stupid. And so we try to avoid those things, you know. That's why men don't like asking for directions. Women don't ask for directions. They like meeting people and carrying on conversation. Men, we hate looking stupid. So here's what we're going to cover today, because why men fail. There's just five little points to this, and it's really, really good. Sort of a common sense thing. So let me give you a few scriptures, kind of lay a foundation here. This is just foundational scriptures. Psalm 78, verse 5 through 7, New King James, says this: For he established a testament in Jacob, he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. What? The commandments of God. The children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And he's talking about passing on the faith to five generations. You should teach your children, teach your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. If you live long enough, your great-great-grandchildren, you're supposed to pass on the faith. Why? That's what keeps us succeeding, is the Word of God. I like this, Psalm 78, verse 9 through 10, again, the New King James. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle, for they had leanness in their souls. One translation says they refused to walk in the law. They did not keep the covenant of God, one translation says. Why did they fail? They were armed. They were trained for battle. Why did they fail? They had leanness in their souls. Listen, man, what you think on, what you meditate on, that's why the Bible said, 3 John 2, you know, Joshua 1:8, Psalms 1. Meditate on the Word. That's where faith comes from. Faith is what gives you a successful life. We are a people of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says this, New King James Version, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what are you going to do? Well, we're a people of faith. Without faith, I don't please God. Without faith, I don't whip the devil. Matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, we're told, resist him steadfast in the faith. This is the New Testament. God says, what am I to do with the devil? Run from him? Hide? Be scared? No. We're to resist him steadfast in the faith. Because knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by our brothers all over the world. And so what we learn is we really have to be trained. I mean, from the minute you leave your mother's womb, you're supposed to be taught and trained. There's so many scriptures throughout the Bible, and we've got a whole seminar on it called Biblical Parenting 101, where we talk about the scriptures about teaching and training and training and train up a child in the way he should go. Whom shall we teach the deep doctrines of God? Those weaned from the mothers, line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible is packed. How do we get faith in the next generation? You have to teach them and you have to train them. I like this. Luke 6, verse 40, New King James. Luke 6:40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who's perfectly trained will be like his teacher. So what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to duplicate myself and my kids. I want them to be like me. I like this. Luke 11, verse 9 through 10, New King James, says this: keep asking, seeking, and knocking. So I say to them, this is Jesus speaking. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open. For everyone who asks receives. Everybody who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. God loves to be chased. I've told my kids, God loves to be chaste. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You come before God, first of all, get your mouth moving in the right direction. Father, I want to thank you, praise you, give you all the glory, all the honor, all the credit, Father. Without you, I don't breathe my next breath. With you, though, all things are possible. And so the first thing is you got to get your mouth moving in the right direction. Start being thankful. But then you got to chase God. God loves to be chased, man. I tell you, I had 6 kids, and you know who got the most from me? Those that asked the most. I didn't realize it. And my kids said, you know, one of the kids said one time at a family reunion, man, my oldest daughter, they said, she got everything. I said, no, she didn't. I was very fair. No, she always got everything. And I got to thinking about it, and they were sharing stories, and I thought, she did get a lot. But I got to realizing why. Well, she was the oldest, and she was sort of used to being like an adult. And so she didn't beg. She didn't plead. Hey, Dad, I use the car. Hey, Dad, I need $20. Hey, Dad, I need help with this. And she was just asked. She was like an adult. And we were just so used to responding to her. You know, it's a whole lot better. Say, hey, Dad, I don't know how you're doing, but maybe you can, maybe you can. I don't know if you would. You probably won't. No. You got to come boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy in time of need. You do the same thing as a kid. You got to come boldly. And so men, and we grew up as kids, you know, depending on how your parents trained you, you know, you kind of used to, you know, trying to beg for something, sneak around. What kind of mood's mom and dad in? Oh, good mood, good mood. Get the list out, get the list out. What kind of mood? Oh, bad mood. Stay away, stay away. And most of us as kids went to our parents based on what kind of mood we thought they were in. Are they in a good mood? Good time to ask. Bad mood? Don't ask right now. They're in a bad mood. And so thank goodness our Heavenly Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't change. Thank goodness God did not go schizo this morning, start hurling lightning bolts to the planet. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I got to thinking about, well, what does God expect out of us as men? You know, what's my role? What's my job? And, you know, my early years of marriage, I mean, my wife and I, we get in an argument all the time, And one day she got mad at me. She said, I want a job description from you. We were in the kitchen, and I was mouthing about something. And she just turned around and said, give me a job description. Well, that's what I used to do. I used to be a process engineer, and I wrote job descriptions. I said, I'll get you one. So I went off to my office and threw out my concordance, my Bible, said, I'll get you a job description. That's probably the problem right here. I'm gonna fix most marriages right here with this threat right here. And so she came in my office about 30 minutes later, and she said, you got a job description yet? I said, I'm working on it. Well, long story short, I went into the kitchen about 3 days later, and I said, honey, I want you to forget about that job description thing. She said, well, can't you find anything? No, I'm finding some stuff, but I keep running into mine. And my job description's gotten so long, I'm not going to have time to mess with yours. And it was the truth. I found out what men are responsible. You know, men are lovers. They're leaders. They're providers. I realized, man, I got so much I got to do. Forget your job. Work on yourself. I got stuff I got to do. And so here's what I found out, just dealing with men all these years. There's 5 basic reasons men fail. Number one's real simple. We don't plan. We don't like to plan. We talk about the past. Men live in the past, so that's where their honor is. Men go where they get honor. The deer I shot, you know, the bass I caught, you know, the touchdown I scored, the hole-in-one I made. Everything men brag about, something they've already done. We don't talk about the future. We've not been there yet. There's nothing to brag about. I'm not done anything 5 minutes from now. I'm not done anything 5 days from now. So I don't talk about the future. I talk about my past. And that's really one of the basic reasons why we fail, because we don't like to plan. So I'll give you some basic scriptures here. Proverbs 29:18, King James Version, says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. What does it mean? Do you know where you're going? No. Well, you're probably not going to get there. You know, somebody once wrote a thing, said, you know, 5 years from now, you're going to be the same place you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read. And you got to get a vision for your life. Where are you going to go? How are you going to get there? Are you seeking God? Are you asking for wisdom? Is he ordering your steps? Are you being obedient? Man, there's a lot of reasons that you need to hang out with God. I like this. Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you don't know about. God's ready to talk to us if we'll talk to him. So I realized, guys, you got to start talking to God. God will not order the steps of a man who has no plans. It's just real simple. God will not order the steps of God doesn't cheat. He doesn't just make good things. Ooh, that was just, you were lucky. Boy, that's bad luck. That's good luck. There is no such thing as luck. Luck's it's not a real word. There's no such thing as luck. We're on a planet where there's God, the devil, heaven and hell. We're in between like an Oreo cookie. You either following God or you following the devil. There's no neutral ground. So you got to realize something. You got to make your mind up. Who are you going to follow the rest of your life? Now, like this, Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Now, it's like you're playing checkers with God. Commit your works to God. What does that mean? Pray. What are you getting ready to do? Work, get married, build a house, get a new job, start a new career. Commit your works to God, and your thoughts will be established. What does he mean? You start praying about something, and God will start talking back to you. I talk, God talks. I talk, God talks. I move, God moves. I move, God moves. I don't move, God doesn't move. God won't cheat. It's just an incredible thing. I like this verse 9 of Proverbs 16. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord orders his steps. So, man, that's incredible. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord orders his steps. So, I realize something. I got to pray about everything. I got to talk to God all the time. This is a great scripture we learned in elementary school years ago, Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16. You watched over me, God, as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God saw me coming. I tell people all the time, I remember one time I met his father in this one seminar, and he had three sons. And he comes, Mr. Gann likes to meet my sons. This is Junior out here. It's a chip off the old block. And so this is Sammy. We're still working on him. And this is Timmy. And he said this. I'm not making this up. He said, Timmy, he is an accident. We weren't expecting him. He is an accident. And he kind of hee-hawed about it. And the kid's just looking. And he's just got this blank look on his face. And you could tell the kid's thinking, I'm an accident. I'm an accident. Nobody knew I was coming. I was an accident. And so finally I got the dad aside about 5 minutes later. I said, Dad, did you ever have biology in high school? He said, yeah. I said, Dad, there are no accidents. You sow human seed, you reap human crop. There are no accidents. This kid's here on purpose. And so God saw him coming, and he's got a great plan for his life. So the biggest challenge for all men is they need to plan. Sit down. Get a pencil and a piece of paper. I've done this with men that have been laid off, lost careers, come by the office. Now listen, hey, we can fix this real quick. Get a blank piece of paper. Where do you want to be in 5 years? I ask the same question every time. This is free. I ask the same question every time. Where would you like to be 5 years from now? Well, I want to be employed. Well, good. What would you like to be doing for a living? What? What do you like doing for a living? You shouldn't hate going to work. What do you like to do? What do you like to do for a living? What do you want to get paid to do? And so they, if you get, nail them down, they'll come up with something. I said, well, good. Let's get a plan. You know, if we're going to do this, then let's, where can we start today? Where do we start today? Yeah, maybe you just lost your job, been laid off, whatever. But let's start planning. God's planning, God's thinking, and God's going to establish our thoughts. The first thing we're going to do, we're going to pray and get God involved in this. And they're going to realize something. God will talk to us and begin to walk. But you got to start moving towards something. So get a plan. That's the first thing. Number two, ignoring the results. Men, we don't like change. Ladies, if you're listening, you know this. Men hate change. I want to sleep on the same side of the bed every night. I want to sit in the same chair at the breakfast table. I want my same coffee cup. I don't like change. Men don't like it because we hate readjusting. But if you're going to live a successful life, you're going to have to change a lot. You know, even the prophets of God, the creek dried up and the birds stopped dropping food. We're going to have to change. Did God die? No, but there's a change coming today. We're going to town to meet a widow, and it's going to be a little different today. God's going to do that. So, ignore the results. Proverbs 27:23, New Living Translation. Know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds. God says, you're responsible for your own sheep. I made sheep grow, but you're responsible for growing them up, taking care of them, making sure they're sheared right. You cannot ignore the results. So I'm constantly evaluating things. You know, when I was in the electrical industry for years, every day, I mean, we're manufacturing electrical wire. Well, how are we doing today? What's going right? What's going wrong? We're constantly making adjustments. They said the first time we went to the moon that NASA had to make a course correction every 15 minutes. Now, there are engineers, very smart men and women, incredibly brilliant people, planned the launch, leaving the Earth, a certain trajectory, headed this direction, at this speed. We've done so many minds were involved, so many smart minds were involved, getting that spaceship to the moon and circling the moon and landing on the moon. But you understand something, what you read, if you read the detail about that, that said NASA made a course correction over 15 minutes. For all the brilliant thinking, for all the brilliant strategy, for all the great math, they still had to make a course correction every 15 minutes on that 3-day trip. He said, if we hadn't made a course correction, we'd have missed the moon like a barn door. But we still, for all of our smarts, for all of our thinking, for all of our planning, we still had to make a course correction every 15 minutes. You got to learn to not ignore the results. You got to, what are we doing? Well, let's make a little adjustment, make a little adjustment, make a little adjustment. Otherwise, you got to make a big adjustment. Number three reason men fail, they refuse to change. 2 Peter 3:18. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. You must grow. You must grow. What is it? How are you going to do this? You got to grow up. You got to do it different. You got to change some things. You got to make some adjustments. I tell people, you know, I've married my first wife 45 years. I learned the hard way. We were coming back from a vacation one time, and I realized something. She's not the same woman I married. Her standard changed every year. It got higher. She expected more. We're going to do things different. I used to like that. I don't like that anymore. I like this. We're all human. We grow and we change. And you got to be willing to roll with that. Number four, small dreams. So this is a good one. You got to dream big. God loves people who dream big. That's why God loved David. He was not afraid of that 10-foot, 2-inch, 6-finger giant. David was willing to go down and whip him with a little stone and a rock. And God said, I love that kid. That's a kid after my own heart. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God loves people who think big. You got to think big. You got to constantly stretch because we like to settle. I'm just telling you, we like the same thing every day. But no, God says, no, we need to grow here. And the fifth reason is keeping bad company. Now for men, I don't know about you, but you know, I got certain friends I like, certain people I like hanging out with. They make me laugh. They're entertaining. You know, they're fun to be with. They're smarter than me, and I learn a lot from them. But you got to watch the company you keep. You have to run with people smarter than you are. You got to learn to run with people smarter than you are. So I give you these scriptures, New Living Translation, Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise, become wise. Associate with fools, get in trouble. You know, are you hanging out with fools? Probably not going to go too good. Going to hang out with wise people? Probably going to get better. It's just a kind of a thought. I like this Proverbs 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you're not perceiving him the lips of knowledge. Who do you hang around? Don't hang around foolish people. How do you know they're foolish? Listen to the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So what are they talking? Stupidity? Well, you don't need that. So move on down the road, you know. Don't hang out with them. Then I give you the last one, Proverbs 27:17. Proverbs 27:17. As iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. As iron strikes iron. How do you keep something sharp? Man, we used to sharpen our lawnmower blades, our axe blades when I grew up in the country. Got to keep things sharp. How do you do it? What do you got to put on that wheel? And man, the spark's going to fly. What are the sparks? It's the dull metal being cut off, making it sharp again. And sometimes it takes two people to strike iron with one another to make them better. Friends make you better. A real friend. The Bible says a friend is somebody who will die for you, not somebody who will get you killed. So you want somebody that's going to make you better, stretch you, make you think different. God's got a great thing, so don't keep bad company. Don't have small dreams. Don't refuse to change. Quit ignoring the results. Look at the things going on around you. You know, pay attention and get a plan. Just sit down one day. Take one piece of paper. Sit down at the kitchen table. And where do you want to be 5 years from now? Just write a sentence out. I've done this to my kids the whole life. One sentence. Where are you going to be in 5 years? And I said, well, then where are you going to be in 4 years? Well, if that's so, where are you going to be in 3 years? And I just make them back it up. So next year, you want to be here. Well, if you're going to be here next year, you need to start making some changes. We're going to have to make a few adjustments now. You don't do it all at one time. God will order your steps and direct your paths. God wants us to succeed, guys. I'm telling you, he's got great plans for us. Great grace be on y'all. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.